Today's shir is Masechta Yevamos Daf Samach, and we will begin on Daf Nun Tesam Beis, three lines from the bottom, and Nasui Masui. We learned in the previous shir that if a Kohen Gadol marries a woman that he had raped or he had seduced, Anusis Atzmai, Futus Atzmai, and Nasui Masui, the marriage is considered a marriage. However, Amar Rav Huna Marav, who might be get, he should divorce her with a get. Ask the Gemara, Vehol Tanim Nasi Nasi. If he's telling us, if Rav is telling us that they have to get divorced, for what purpose is the halacha in Nasi Nasi that they should be married? Amar Rav Achba Yaakov teaches us Rav Yaakov, Yaakov Loimer, She'en Misham Knas B'mafoto. That if it was a situation of mefuta, he would not have to pay knas. For as we know, the halacha is that if one is ma'anis, if one violates a woman, he has to pay knas, and he has to marry her, provided that she and her father consent to such a marriage. If one is mefata a woman, if one seduces a woman, there the knas is only paid if he doesn't take her as a wife. But if he takes her as a wife, he does not have to pay knas. And that is what the Gemara is telling us, that if he took her as a wife, even though he has to divorce her, he doesn't have to pay knas once he took her as a wife. Miches Chinuch discusses when the halacha is that once he takes her as a wife, he no longer is obligated to pay knas, is that only if he did nesuin, which it seems to be the way Al Gemara says, and nasui, if there was nesuin, or perhaps even if he just did kedushin, it would be enough that he would not have to pay knas anymore. It seems that the Miches Chinuch learns that nesuin had to take place in order that there should be no obligation to pay knas. Tosfos asks that it's a little difficult to understand what Al Gemara is saying, that he, so to speak, saves himself some money by marrying her and not having to have to pay the knas. Ask Tosfos, but if he has to divorce her, the halacha is that when one divorces his wife, he has to pay ksuba, which, as the Mishnah Melech points out, is the same value as the knas. So what is the person gaining financially by marrying her? He's going to have to pay the ksuba anyway. So Tosfos says a number of answers. One teretz Tosfos says is, the way Tosfos Ben Peretz explains Tosfos' words, is that a ksuba, a woman could forgive. Knas, she cannot. So therefore, if he divorces her, yes, he has to pay ksuba, but she could forgive that obligation. The obligation of knas, she cannot forgive. Another teretz Tosfos gives is that the halacha is that a wife collects the ksuba min zaburius, from the husband's least valuable properties. However, knas is paid mi'idyus, from the best property. That would be a difference if he's paying this amount as a knas versus if he's paying it as a ksuba. Another teretz is that knas is a deraisa, and ksuba is a drabonim. Others want to suggest that under these circumstances, an interesting teretz that some rishonim want to suggest, that under these circumstances, he would not have to pay even the ksuba. Because the ksuba, as we know, is paid. It shouldn't be easy for the husband to quickly divorce his wife. That is only where we don't want to see a divorce. But here, as we're learning on Metzia Baget, that the Chazal require that they get divorced. So here we don't pay the ksuba. The husband's not obligated to pay the ksuba because we actually want them to get divorced. Says the Gemara. Oslo Rav Gevir Rebei Kossel. Om L'Shmaitza Kameid Rav Ashi. Rav Gevir told over this halacha to Rav Ashi. Omle. Rav Yochanan Tavayu, both of them said, "Bageris umakaseitz." A woman who's a bageris a woman who's a mukas eitz la yisa, a kohen gadol should not marry these women. Viv nasui, nasui. But if he marries such women, the marriage is considered valid. Alma, why? Because we have a concept of soifa liyos begeris tachtov. Since a woman will become begeris anyway, as we've been explaining, a begeris is once a woman is 12 and a half years old. Soifa liyos mukas eitz tachtov. A mukas eitz is when a woman has a wound by some makim. And once the woman is married, she certainly is in the category of a mukas eitz. Therefore, Chazal said that once, that even though the kohen should have not have married these, kohen gadol should not have married these women, since they would anyway end up in this state, he may remain married to her. So why don't we say, hachinami, by a woman who the kohen gadol had relations with, ma'anasar or mafatahar, she should also be able to remain with him. Soifa liyos spula tachtov. Says the Gemara Kasha, that indeed is a question. So, as we know, the Mefarshim say, whenever the Gemara uses the word Kasha, rather than using the word Tiyufta, that means it's a question, but it's a question that could be answered. What is the answer? So, I saw that the Mefarshim have a number of approaches. One point is that the Ritva makes. He says, if the Gemara is asking that there's a concept of Soifa Liyos, Bu'ula tachtov, that this woman will anyway be a bu'ula, so we take that concept. The Gemara could have even asked a better question, that even a woman who had relations with another man should be permitted to marry a kohen gadol for the same concept of soifa liyos bu'ula tachtov. The answer is that a woman that had relations with another man is certainly inappropriate for kohen gadol to marry her. And therefore, we could apply the same concept over here. Yes, we have a concept of soifa liyos begeris tachtov, soifa liyos mukas eitz tachtov, soifa liyos bu'ula tachtov. But a bu'ula is much more of an inappropriate woman for a kohen to marry versus a begeris and mukas eitz, and therefore we don't compare the two. But another test that I saw, Karen Iris says this, other achronim follow this concept. They say that there are two issues involved in a kohen gadol marrying a woman that he's not supposed to. One is the actual moment of getting married, and one is remaining married with her. So they explain. In the situation where the kohen gadol already married a begeris or mukas eitz, so the marriage took place, that issur is here. And since every woman, anyway, is soifa liyos begeris tachtov, and soifa liyos mukas eitz tachtov, therefore, the halacha is that he can remain married with her. However, when we're dealing with a woman who is a bu'ula, and even though he was the one that made her a bu'ula, and now the question is, should he be allowed to marry her? We certainly say he should not be allowed to marry her, because that moment of marriage, as the Karen Oyer tells us, is a very crucial moment in their relationship. And therefore, we don't allow him to marry her if she is already bu'ula, even if she is bu'ulas atzmai. So the Mishnah, the Gemara continues, that the Braisa taught us, anusis chaveroi, mufutas chaveroi layisot, he's not to marry a woman that was raped or seduced by someone else. Vibnosan, if he married her, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer havlat cholol, the child born from such a marriage would be a cholol, v'cham Omer havlat kosher, he's not a cholol. Amr Rav Huna Merav, Halacha Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Halacha actually follows Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. V'kein Amr Rav Gidl Amr Rav, Halacha Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Ika da Amri, Amr Rav Huna Amr Rav, my Tamad Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. What is the reasoning for Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that says that if somebody married, if a kohen gadol married Anusas Chaveroi or Mefutas Chaveroi, the child is a cholol? Kosavla Rabbi Elazar. He holds like Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar's opinion, we learned yesterday, is that Pani Abar Pnuya Asa Zayna, that a woman that had premarital relations becomes a Zayna, and a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry a Zayna. A child born to a woman, a child born when a kohen gadol marries a Zayna is a cholol. This woman, because she had relations with this man, with Anusus Chaveri, Mefutus Chaveri, is considered a Zoyna. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, agreeing with Rabbi Elazar's opinion, will hold that the Vlad is a Cholol. Ask the Gemara, Omi Savala Kavasei, does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov indeed agree with Rabbi Elazar? For Kaimelon, we have a rule throughout Shas, the Mishnah Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Kav Noki. We find Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's rulings Kav, a small measure. We don't find them often, as we've quoted the Rosh previously. Kav, we only find Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's rulings 102 times. But Vanaki, they're pure. We always follow Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's ruling. V'ilu b'ha, and in this situation, we know Omer of Amram and Alok Rabbi Elazar. So how can we say that the Alok is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov when he bases his opinion on Rabbi Elazar, who we don't follow his opinion? Says the Gemara Kasha, that is indeed a Kasha. And again, the Mefarshim say, why is it a Kasha, not a Tiyufta? Because when do we say that we follow the rulings of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Those are rulings that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov cites in a Mishnah. Here, however, it refers to a Braisa. In a Braisa, we do not necessarily follow Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's rulings. Rav Ashi Amar, Rashi says the machloikis, whether the child born of a kohen gadol married anusas chaveroi or mefutas chaveroi, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said that the child is a cholol, and the chacham said the child is kosher, is based on a different machloikis. The machloikis is b'yesh cholol mechayve esei kamefugi. If a kohen gadol married a woman who, because of a mitzvah asei, he should have not married, will that child be a cholol or not? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Sover, yesh cholol mechayve esei, that even a chayve esei produce a cholol. And here, since the Torah says ki im besula mi'amov yikach isha, there's a mitzvah asei for the kohen gadol only to marry a besula. When he married this woman, who obviously is not a besula because she's a nusas chaveroi or mefutas chaveroi, so he was over that asei, and the child will be a cholol. Rabbanan Savri, en cholol mechayve esei, a child born from a kohen gadol who married a woman that the mitzvah say that he should not marry her, will not be a cholol. Ask the Gemara, my time, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, why does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov hold that even a child born from a chayve esei will be a cholol? Answers the Gemara. The pasuk says, Amana grush v'chalola, zoynes eila la yikach, ki im besula me'amov yikach isha. That's the first pasuk. The next pasuk reads, v'lo yichal zara ba'amov kani Hashem mekatshoi. Says the Gemara Akula, the second pasuk that says that the child will be a cholol refers to all of the situations mentioned in the first pasuk, amana grusha, and also ki im besula. So the Torah is telling us that in all circumstances, even in a situation where the kohen gadol was over a mitzvah say, the child born will be a cholol. Rabbanan, how isn't Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov what he's saying pshat in the pasuk? They say elu hifsek inyan. The first pasuk reads amana grusha v'chalola zayna es ela lo yikach ki im besula me'amav yikach isha. So Rabbanan say the word ela separates the first half of the pasuk from the second half of the pasuk, and the pasuk is telling us that only the people in the first half, amana grush v'chalola, will produce v'lo yichalol zaroi, will produce a cholol, not the second part of the pasuk of ki im besula me'amav yikach isha. And as Tosfos points out, even though the words v'lo yichalol zaroi are closer to the part of the pasuk of ki im besula me'amav yikach isha, which is the last part of the pasuk right before the words of v'lo yichal zar ba'amav, still says Tosfos that if we're going to say that a cholol is produced under certain circumstances and not under other circumstances, it certainly makes sense to say that we are under the circumstances of amana grusha v'chalola, which are much bigger iser, it's a mitzvah slice to say, versus saying that it comes from the second part, which is only a mitzvah say. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that treats all of the women in the pasuk of Almana and Grusha the same way. And he says all of the women in that pasuk, if a kohen gadol married them, the child would be a chalal. What does he do with the word Eila? Answers the Gemara, Eila lemute nida. It comes to teach us that if a kohen gadol married a nida, and as Tosfos explains, even though marrying a nida is a chiyuv kares, still the child will not be a cholol. And as Tosfos says, even though we would think that it should be a more serious avera, that's what the pasuk says, we don't consider it that way. And Tosfos, however, asks the question. We know that the Torah says that an almana, if a kohen gadol marries an almana, she and her child, if a child is born from that marriage, will be a cholol. Certainly, if a kohen gadol married a nida, she will not become a cholol. So how can we learn that, how can we even think, why would we have a havamina that the child born from a nida should be a cholol? So some rishonim want to suggest that that's part of what the Gemara is considering. That just like if a kohen gadol married an almana, she becomes a chalala, and the child is a chalol, perhaps also if he married a nida, the child, she and her child, should become chalala. Another pshat is that the Gemara is not discussing the mother. There was never a question that the nida should become a chalala. But that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the child. And we should perhaps therefore say that even though that the mother is not a chalala, the child should be a chalol. That's why we need the pasuk of Ela to exclude that even if a kohen gadol married a nida or had relations with a nida, the child would not be a chalol. Says the Gemara, Kaman Ozla HaDatanya, who is the Tanya of the following Braisa that says, Me'ela Atayis HaChalol, from the women mentioned this pasuk, if a kohen gadol married such a woman, the child will be a cholol. V'yata oisa cholol menida. But if a kohen gadol married a nida, the child will not be a cholol. Command, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it follows the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. There's a machlokes rishonim. What will the Rabbanan hold regarding a kohen gadol marrying a nida? Because the Rabbanan do not use the word Eila to exclude a nida. They use the word Eila, as we learned, to separate the two categories of women used in the pasuk. So what will the Rabbanan hold regarding such a woman? Some Rishonim derive it, say indeed the Rabbanan will hold that if a kohen gadol married a cholol, married a nida, had relations with a nida, the child would be a cholol. However, the Rashba and Ritva say that the Rabbanan will also agree that if a kohen gadol had relations with a nida, the child will not be a cholol. And their explanation is because a cholol is only produced from an isser, which is an isser kahuna, an isser which is specific to kahanim or kahanim gedolim. The isser of a nida is not limited to kahanim, and therefore the Rabbanan will certainly also hold that the child born from a nida who had relations with a kohen gadol will not be considered a cholol. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that the purpose of the word Eila mentioned in this pasuk is to exclude the child of a kohen gadol and a nida. Nichtava le'ela b'psayif. Why did the Torah have to put the word Eila in the middle of the pasuk? According to Rabbanon, that the word Eila is here to separate that the first list of women in the pasuk produce chalolim. However, the second part of the pasuk doesn't produce chalolim. We could understand the placement of the word Eila in the middle of the pasuk. But according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that the reason the Torah uses the word Eila is to exclude a kohen gadol and a nida, so it doesn't have to be placed in the middle of the pasuk. It could be placed at the end of the pasuk, or at the beginning of the pasuk. It could be placed at the lipsayf, at the end of the pasuk, says the Gemara Kasha. That indeed is a question. The Yamsha Shloima answers this question also, because the Rambam says that a child is not a cholol only if he had relations with the mother l'shem znus. That is by a chayv essay. That means if a kohen gadol had relations with a woman who's not a basula but was not l'shem znus, the child would not be a cholol. But if the Kohen Gadol had relations with a woman who is also to marry because of a chiv lav, a mana, grusha, v'chalolo, there, even if his intention in those relations were not l'shem znus, the child would be a cholo. So now we could understand, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, why the word Eila is put in the middle of the pasuk, because there are different dinim in the relations of a kohen gadol with a chayiv lavin, that under all circumstances the child produced would be a cholol, versus when he has relations with a chayiv esay, that there the halach is the child is only a cholol when the relations were done with shemznus. The halach is that a kohen may not become tamei to his sister. The Torah says, "L'chayis ha'psula k'roiv elav ashlohayis l'ish l'yitama." He only may become tamitar if she's a psula, she was an unmarried woman. And the Gemara begins now to discuss which woman, which sister is considered still a psula that a kohen becomes tamitahar, and which is not. Tanar abonim, a chayis arusa. If a kohen has a sister who is an arusa, Rameyev Rabbi Yehuda Omrim metamala. Since she did not have yet nesuin, she's still considered a psula, and the kohen becomes tamei to her if she passes away. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Oimrim, Eima tamala, he may not. Anusa mefuta, if a sister of a kohen was raped or seduced, there divrei hakol Eima tamala, everybody agrees that her brother, the kohen, and she dies, everybody agrees that a kohen, the brother, may not become tamei to her. Mukas eitz, if a kohen's sister is a mukas eitz, Eima tamala, he doesn't become tamei to her. Divrei Rav Shimon, that's Rav Shimon's opinion. Shai Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon made the following rule: Ruy l'kohen gadol, any woman that a kohen gadol may marry, metamala, her brother becomes tamei to her when she passes away. Shein ruy l'kohen gadol, a woman that a kohen gadol may not marry, a mukas eitz is a woman that a kohen gadol, as we learned in the previous Mishnah, may not marry. Eimetamala, therefore, a kohen doesn't become tamei to a sister who's a mukas eitz. Umet begeres, if the sister is a begeres, metamaloi, then a kohen becomes tamei to a sister who's a begeres and single. Divrei hakol, everybody agrees to that position. And now the Gemara begins to analyze the basis for these positions. My tamad Ramei Rabbi Yehuda. What is the reasoning for Ramei Rabbi Yehuda's position? The dar shehachi. The pasuk says, "L'chayis ha'psula k'roiva elav ashlohayis l'ish l'yitama." L'chayis ha'psula. The words "l'chayis ha'psula" come to teach us prat l'anusim afuta, to exclude a sister who is anusim afuta. She's no longer a virgin, and the kohen doesn't become tamei to her. Yochel shafani moitzi af mukas eitz. I would perhaps also exclude a mukas eitz. The kohen doesn't become tamei to her. Tamalay meshlohayis l'ish. Only a sister who became a non-virgin because of a man having relations with her, such a woman does a kohen not become tamei to. Yotzu, however, a mukas eitz, a begeris, shein avasa deish, did not lose her status of being a psula because of an act done by a man. She remains in the category of a sister who's a psula that a kohen becomes tamei to. Hakroiva, the word hakroiva, larabis harusa, comes to teach us that if the sister is an arusa, the kohen becomes tamei to her. Elov, larabis habegeres, to include a begeres, also a kohen can become tamei to her. Asks Tosfos, why do we need another pasuk of Elov L'rabbis habegeres? Didn't we just learn that only a woman, shaviyasa yidei ish, that lost her psula status because of an act of a man, is a kohen not going to become tamei to? So habegeres is certainly in such a category. Why do we need another limud of Elov? Answers Tosfos, if I only had the limud of shaliyasa ish, I would say certainly habegeres, a kohen becomes tamei to, because she, no external force affected her. However, a woman who was a mukas eitz, although she didn't have relations with a man, there was an external effect that caused her to lose her psulim, her virginity. And therefore I would say she a kohen does not become tamei too by having two limudim, both the limud of shloi hoyselish and the limud of elov, were able to learn both of a geris and a mukas eitz. Ask the Gemara, halamali kraw, why do I need a pasuk to say that a kohen could become tamei to his sister begeris? Vam rameya, we learned in the previous year, besula, if the Torah just uses the word besula according to rameya, afilu mixes besula mashma, it includes even a person who's a partial besula, it would include a begeris. Why do I need a special limud? Answers the Gemara, itzruch. Salkadat chamina, neilef bila bila besula besula mehasam. We should perhaps learn a gzeris shava from the halacha of anusa, that the Torah, when it speaks about a girl who was anusa, who was violated, the Torah says it's specifically a nara. So I would say, just like there, when the Torah uses the word psula, it means a nara. Malahalan, over there, it means a nara. Over here, too, when the Torah uses the word psula regarding the sister that the Kohen is allowed to become tametu, is specifically a nara, kamash malon. That's why the pasuk comes to teach us that no, here, even if the sister is a begeris, as long as she's a basula, as long as she never had relations with a man, the kohen, her brother, becomes tamei to her if she should pass away. Now the Gemara goes on to explain the opinion of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon mai tamayu, dashi hachi, lachoyse psula, pratla nusa mufuta mukas eitz, that all of these women, if they're the sister of a kohen and die, the kohen doesn't become tamei to them. Ashlahoysa pratla rusa, if the sister died as an arusa, her brother, the kohen, doesn't become tamei to her. Hakroiva, the rabbis arusha sinishgarsha. But if she was an arusa, and then she got divorced, and only then did she, Rachman al Islam, pass away, then her brother, the kohen, does become tamei to her. Eilov, the rabbis is a begeris. To include a sister who's a begeris, again, that the kohen, her brother, becomes tamei to her. Hakroiva, we said Larabbit's Arushas and his Garsha. It comes to teach us that if his sister was an Arusa and got divorced, the Kohen is allowed to become Tamei to her. Ask the Gemara, from Rav Shimon, this is the opinion of Rav Shimon. And didn't Rav Shimon say the following rule? Rui l'Kohen Gadol, a woman that a Kohen Gadol is allowed to marry, Metamala, that type of woman, a kohen becomes tamei to his sister if she's in that category. However, she'ena ruya l'kohen gadol, a woman that a kohen gadol may not marry, such as a begeris, that a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry a begeris, or a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry a rusha shenizgarsha, which is really the focus now. A kohen we know that is not allowed to marry, a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry a gerusha, and as we learned in the previous year, even an arusha shenizgarsha is in that category, a metamala. Answers the Gemara, shani hasam, the Rabbi Rachmana kroiva. Since the Torah put in the word kroiva, that the purpose of teaching us that word is to teach us that even though a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry such a woman, here a kohen does become tamei to his sister who's an arusha shenizgarsha. Ask the Gemara, Yachim Mukas Eitz Nami. So we follow that line of reasoning. So we say the same thing regarding Mukas Eitz, and say that even though a kohen gadol may not marry a Mukas Eitz, we should say that if a kohen's sister is a Mukas Eitz, he does become tamei to her. And the Gemara Kroiva, the word Kroiva is said in the singular, Achas. It's only coming to say one type of woman, a kohen as lada come tummy too, an arushas and ishgansha, filoshtayim, and not a mukas eitz. Ask the Gemara, my Risa. Yes, the pasuk is only coming to add one type of woman. But why are we saying that it's coming to add arushas and ishgansha? Why do we say it's coming to add a mukas eitz? Answers the Gemara, ha is avaba maisa. In a mukas eitz, there was an act that happened to break her psulim, the wood that wounded her, halis avva maisa. However, arushas and izgarsha, nothing actually happened to her, and therefore there's more reason that if we're going to say that the pasuk is including a woman, it makes more sense to say that it includes an arushas and izgarsha versus saying that it's included a mukaseitz. Says the Gemara of Rabbi Yossi. If we look at Rabbi Yossi, he travels, he agrees with Rav Shimon's opinion until it comes to the halacha of a mukaseitz. M'deshafkel barzugei, he leaves his partner Rav Shimon when it comes to discuss a mukaseitz. Mechlal, why don't we find Rav Yossi quoted together with Rav Shimon regarding the halacha of a mukaseitz? Mechlal, the b'mukatz eitz kremeis virlei, that even though regarding the other women, Rav Yossi agrees with Rav Shimon's opinion, when it comes to discuss a mukas eitz, there he doesn't follow Rav Shimon's opinion, rather he follows Rav Meir's opinion, and he holds that even a woman who's a mukas eitz, and she's the sister of a kohen, the kohen is matama when she passes away. Ask the Gemara Manole, from where does Rav Yossi know this? Answers the Gemara, Malai Haisal Ish. He knows it from the words Lahaisal Ish. Ask the Gemara, Vahafikte, but Rabbi Yossi already used this pasuk to tell us that the Kayin is not allowed to become Tameh when his sister died as an Arusa. So how could he use this pasuk to teach us the halacha of a Mukatz Eitz? Answers the Gemara, Chad Malai Haisal, that a Kayin is not allowed to become Tameh to his sister as an Arusa. Rabbi Yossi learns from the word Lai Haisa, Fachad, but that he is allowed to become Tamei to a sister who is a Mukas Eitz, that he learns from the word Leish. Elov, we said that the word Elov comes to teach us Lerabbis HaBegeris, that a Kohen could become Tamei to Begeris. Ask the Gemara, Rav Shimon, this is the opinion of Rav Shimon. Yesterday we learned that Rav Shimon said that when the Torah uses the word besula, it means besula shleim, besula shleim, besula shleim mashma. It means a complete besula. A begeris is not a complete besula. So how could Rav Shimon include a begeris in the category of the women of lachaisa besula, that the kohen allowed to become tamei tahar? Besula means a complete besula. So the Mefarshim ask that we know that the word Elov is coming to include a Begeris. In other words, the Mefarshim ask, they don't understand the Gemara's Kasha. Yes, Besula means Besula Shleima, but that's why we have the word Elov to include Begeris. That's why the Tosfos Shoshanim and other Mefarshim say that the Gemara's question, even though it's not so simple in the words of the Gemara, why does Rav Shimon always say, and we learned in the previous year, regarding a Kohen Gadol, that Besula means Besula Shleima? Shouldn't this pasuk be a proof that the word Besula does not necessarily mean Besula Shleima? And therefore, he should have a different explanation of the pasuk by which woman a Kohen Gadol may marry? Answers the Gemara, Tam Nidei Nami Mehasim Hacha. The halacha, in the case of a Kohen Gadol, is derived from here. The Darish Hachi, the way Rav Shimon explains it is as follows. Mida Elov L'Rabbis HaBegeris. Mechlal the Besula Besula Shleima Mashma. If the word Besula does not mean a Besula Shleima, says Rav Shimon, why do I need the word Elov to include a Begeris? The word Besula already includes her, if even a partial Besula is considered a Besula. If we see, says Rav Shimon, that the Torah HaKadosha had to go out of its way to write the word Elov over here to include a Begeris, what is the Torah telling us? That normally a Besula means a Besula Shleima, and only here, because the Torah used the word Elov, is she included that the Kohen, her brother, becomes Tamei Tahar. However, in the situation of a Kohen Gadol, where there is no special limud to include that a begeris is considered a besula, besula means besula shleima, and therefore a kohen gadol would not be allowed to marry a begeris. Tanya, Rav Shimon ben Yochi Omer, Giyoris, the halacha is that a kohen gadol, the kohen, is not allowed to marry a zayna. And now the Gemara begins to discuss what is the status of a giyoris, which giyoris may a kohen marry, and which giyoris may a kohen not marry. Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon ben Yochi Omer, Gyaris Pchusu Bas Shalashon V'yom Echad, a Gyaris who's less than 3 years old in a day, K'sher L'Kahuna, may marry a Kohen. Shadam V'kol Atah Ba'Noshim, Ashla Yod Mishkav Zohar, Hachyu L'chem. Any woman, this was by the Mechemes Midian, when Klai Yisrael went out to war with the Minyanim, and Par Yisrael says that all the women that were captured may be taken as wives. Very Pinchas Imohem. Pinchas was one of the soldiers in that war. Pinchas was a Kohen. How could he marry one of those women? Aren't they Giyoris? They were Minyanim. So we see from here that a Kohen may marry a Giyoris if she's less than 3 years old. The Rabbanim, who disagree, and the Rabbanim say that even a Giyoris that's less than 3 years old, a Kohen may not marry. How will they that explain that pasuk? They'll say, Vadim L'shvachas, not Hachyu L'chem, to take as wives, but rather to take them as servants. But wives can't be taken by Kohanim, because no Giyoris, no child of Giyorim, no matter what age, is permissible to a Kohen. And as a Machlokes Rishonim, what is the explanation in the position of the Rabbanon that any daughter of a Giyoris, even if she's less than 3 years old, may not be taken as wives by Kohanim? Some say, because they're considered Zoinos, women that had relations, because we consider that all Nachrim have relations even at a very young age. And even though, as Mefarshim point out, we've learned, and Mitzvah will learn again, that a girl who's less than 3 years old, even if she had relations, Pusuleh Chayzim, her virginity returns, that is only by Yisraelim, not by Nachrim. That's one approach that the Mefarshim give in understanding the Rabbanim. Another approach that they offer is that since they come from Nachrim, which Zirma Susam Zirmasam, they're Prutzim Barayis, so they are of a lower level, and therefore of Yichus, and therefore a Kohen may not marry their children even at any age. There's another interesting question. There's Machlokes Rambam versus other Rishonim, that when we say a Kohen Gadol is only allowed to marry a Psula, the Machlokes Rishonim, who is included in that category? As we've learned and have been learning, he certainly may not marry a Begeris. What would be the halacha? Is he allowed to marry only a Nara, or could he even marry a Ketana? Rashi says that a Kohen Gadol could even marry a Ketana. However, the Rambam, and it's based on a Gemara we'll learn tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem on Daf Samach Aleph Amabez, says that a Kohen Gadol can only marry a Nara, a girl who's 12 years old. Furthermore, the Rambam says that when the Torah says that a Kohen Gadol can only marry a Psula, it includes a Meshuach Mechama, the Kohen Gadol who was the general, led the Kohen who led Klai Yisrael in battle, which Pinchas was a Meshuach Mechama. So the question is, even according to the Rambam, asked the Mishnah LeMelech, even if there's no issue with a Giyoris who's less than 3 years old for Kohen to marry, but Pinchas was a Meshuach Mechama, how could he marry these girls? They were so young, he could only marry a Nara. So some Rishonim want to suggest that in this battle, Pinchas was not yet a Meshuach Mechama. Others say, what the Gemara means to say is that not that Pinchas will marry these girls now. Now he can't marry them because he's a Meshuach Mechama. And a Meshuach Mechama can only marry a Nara. But since these girls were at this time less than 3 years old, says the Ritva, and the Mishnah Melech says this too, they could now be kept as Jewish girls, and then when they become of age, when they become Narois, Pinchas will be allowed to marry them. Ihochi asked the Gemara if the consideration, according to Rabbi Elazar, to Rabbi Shimon Yochai, is did the woman have relations or not? So even Bashal Shan V'yom Echonami, even if the girl is above 3 years old, as long as she didn't have relations, a Kohen should be allowed to marry her. Says the Gemara, Kedraf Hunam. The Pasuk says that a girl, as Rav Huna teaches us, is over 3 years old, if she's a Bas Gerim, a Kohen may not marry her under any circumstances. So Rav Huna Rami, Ksiv kol isha yodas ish lemishkav zocha haroigu. Any woman who live with a man should be killed. Ha'en yodas, the Pasuk implies that if she did not have relations, kaimu, she could stay alive. Mechlal, and we take it a step further, the taf by infants, their bein yadu, bein lo yadu, whether they did or didn't have relations with the men, since they're infants, time when they can be kept alive. However, v'ksiv, isn't there another pasuk that says, v'kol ha-taf b'noshim, all of the infant, young children, ashlo yadu mishkiv zachar, if they didn't have relations, hachyulchem, they may be kept alive. Havi ha-yadi, it comes to imply that even though that they're young, but if they had relations, haroigu, they should be killed. So how do we reconcile the pasuk? Have a oima. The way to understand the pasuk is b'ruy l'boy l'kos b'daber. Any woman who's fit for relations, that means any woman who's 3 years older, had to be killed. Anyone who's younger and is therefore not fit for relations can be kept alive, and according to Shimon Chai, even a kohen can marry her. Tanya mehachi, and so we learned in a brisa. The pasuk says, "V'kol isha yadas ish b'ruy l'boy l'kos b'daber." It refers to any woman of age to have relations should have been killed. At the oimah b'ruy l'boy doesn't mean a woman that's old enough to have relations. Maybe the way to understand the pasuk is that we have to see: did the woman have relations and then she should be killed? Did she not have relations and then she doesn't have to be killed? Kishuaima, since the pasuk says, "V'kol tap anoshim ashla yadu mishkav zocher." The pasuk speaks about the children, and by specifying the children, we must say that there we see that there's a difference between young women and old women. How do we differentiate? Have oima beruya leboy lakos medaber. Depends, was she fit for relations if she's older than 3 or not when she's younger than 3? Menoy yodei. So how did they know which of the menoy smidyon were old enough to have relations, were above 3, which were younger? Answers the Gemara. Amar Chana Babizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida, Haviron Fnei Tzitz. They made them all walk in front of the tzitz. Kol Shepanam Marikos, any woman whose face turned pale, B'yidui Shiro Elibol, we knew she was age to be fit for Bia. Kol Shein Panam Marikos, but if her face did not turn colored, get pale, B'yidui Shein Royal Bia. Amar Rav Nachman, similar vroika, a vera droika. Hadroikin, which means getting pale, changing color of the face, is a simon of an avera. As the Maral explains, avera is death. Avera is a form of misa. That a person does an avera, he brings upon himself misa. And therefore, says the Maral, that's pshat over here. Any woman who did an avera, or was old enough to do an avera, was in the category of hadroikin, hadroikin being a sign of death. We find a similar situation. The pasuk says, "For yimtzu miyoshvi yoyev eshgilad avameis nar psula shloyada ish lemishkav zacher." As we know, there was an incident described in Nach, a pelegish begiva, a woman was raped and killed in Shevet, by Shevet Binyamin, and there was a terrible civil war that ensued afterwards, where most of Shevet Binyamin was actually decimated. And at that time, a decree was made that no one should marry, no one could allow their daughter to marry into Shevet Binyamin. However, afterwards, the Klal Yisrael saw that Shevet Binyamin was at risk of disappearing. So there was a city called Yavesh Gilad. The people of that city had not joined the rest of Klal Yisrael in battle against Binyamin. So they went to hold battle with that city and wipe out everybody from the city. But they said any woman from that city who had never had relations would be spared to be able to marry into Shevet Binyamin to attempt to rebuild the Shevet. So the pasuk says there were 400 such women. Again, ask the Gemara, Mena Yadi, from where do they know how that these women never had relations? Says the Gemara, Hashivam Apichavish Shoyayin. Amar of Kahana, Hashiva Apichavish Shoyayin. They put them to sit on the opening of a barrel of wine. Bula, a woman who had relations, Reicha Noidif, the smell of the wine would come through her body because she had an opening. Basula, virgin, Ein Reicha Noidif. And as Mefarshim say, why on a barrel of wine? two pshatim. One is because nichnas yayin yotza soid, wine is the way secrets come out. Another pshat is we find in the Torah that wine caused a bia. We find that by the benois light, they were able to seduce their father to have relations with them by giving him to drink wine. So wine is related to bia. Ask the Gemara Navrinal of Neitzitz. Why don't we pass them in front of the tzitz? And thereby know what their status was. Amar Rav Kahana b'Rei Rav Nosson, L'rotzen l'hem k'siv. The pasuk says about the tzitz that it's l'rotzen, to bring favor. L'rotzen v'loy l'peronius. Ask the Gemara Yochanan b'Binyan Nami, why by Midian did they use the tzitz? Amar Rav Ashi, l'hem k'siv. L'hem l'rotzen. By Klai Yisro, the tzitz should only be l'rotzen v'loy l'peronius. However, l'adik k'chavim, afil l'peronius. Ask the Brikas of Rom, why doesn't the Gemara say that we didn't rely on the tzitz? Because ain't soimch malanes. Relying on the tzitz is certainly not a natural way of knowing a woman's status. Says the Birkas Avram, the power of the tzitz is so great that it's not a tzitz, it's not a nes that somebody who does an aveira can't pass in front of the tzitz. The tzitz doesn't allow Tumma to pass in front of it because of its kedusha, and that's not even a nes. Amrav Yakre, Idi Amrav Shimon ben Levi, Halachim Shimon ben Yochai, Halachim Shimon ben Yochai, that a kohen can marry a bas gerim or geiris who's less than 3 years old. Amrav of Zeil of Yakre Idi, Befer Shmielach, Bechol Shmielach. Did you hear him say this explicitly, or did you only hear it through inference? Mike Lola, Darmish Shimon Levi, Irachus Hoys of Yisrael. There was a city in Yisrael, Shakarl of Irur, that there was a question about the legitimacy of the people that lived in that city, about the Yichus. Vishigur Rebbe is Reb Rumna Sobotka. Rebbe sent Reb Rumna to investigate the status of the people in the city. He found there was a Giyaris that was less than 3 years old. Vishigur Rebbe Lakuna. And Rebbe said that she should be allowed to marry Kahanim, and that was the issue if the city was fine or not. And obviously, Rebbe held, like Rav Shimon ben Yochai, that a girl that's less than 3 years old, kain can marry. Amalei beferish merely. So said, I heard it explicitly. Says, avi michlal umay. And what would be if he only heard it by inference? Isn't this a clear proof that a kain is allowed to marry a giyar that's less than 3 years old? Says, dilma shani hasam, we can't bring a proof from there. Hoil v'insav, insav. Because there, since the kohen had married her, he could remain married. As we learned at the beginning of this year, Rav Yochanan Amar Tamayu, Begeres Amukas Eitz Lo Yisa, a kohen gadol should not marry Begeres Amukas Eitz, from Nasi Nasi. But if he did marry her, he could stay married. So the same thing here, he maybe shouldn't marry such a woman, but if they already married, they could remain married. Ask the Gemara, how can we compare the two circumstances? Hachi Hashta, Bishlam Ahasam, Saifaliyah is Begeres Tachtav. This woman will ultimately be a Begeres. Saifaliyah is Begeres Tachtav. She ultimately be a Mukasetz. Hoicha Saifaliyah is Zayna Tachtav. A Giyayris, as we learned, is a category of Zayna. And there will she certainly be a Zayna. So we can't compare one situation to the other. Rasafna Masla Maklola. He learned it from the rule. The Kashalei. And then he had the question that we just learned that perhaps after the fact, we should allow the kohen to remain married to her, just like we allow by begeres mukas aitz. And he answered like we just answered that a geiris who is a zayna is different than a begeres and mukas aitz. Hahu kana the ints of geiris pchusim b'ashal shalom yom echad. There was a kohen that married a geiris that was less than 3 years old. Amalei Rav Nachman Yitzchak, my high, how did you do such a thing? Amalei Damer Rav Yakvar Idi, Amar Rav Shimon Levi, halachim Shim ben Yochai, and I was following Rav Shim ben Yochai. So he told the Zil Apik, divorce her. V'loy, because if you not divorce her, Mefkin Alach Rav Yaakov Be'idim Unach, he'll take her out from your ear. As Rashi says, I'll put you into Chayrim, because you violated what the Chacham said, that a Kohen should not marry a Geyoris, even if she became a Geyoris when she was less than 3 years old.